Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
I love that. Nice music by Tony Salvatore. My recognized the group Betty. All the time. It's a good thing. And today we're going to have First Amendment fun. That's what I'm calling today. First Amendment fun featuring people from the First Amendment improv comedy troupe. And then we're going to have a surprise call-in caller from the First Amendment. Woohoo! Why don't we start with a First Amendment favorite? From Tom Carozza, from his CD Zesty. You know what's coming, people. I'm hungry.
After Mass, just last Sunday, my sweetie pie and I went out to eat. We each ordered a pierogi, four potato, two cheese, and two meat. Hers was gone within an instant. I had eaten six and still had two. Her eyes were full of love and hunger. So I asked, what would you do? She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She packs them in like no one else does. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She's twice the girl that she once was. I had two surviving pierogies on my dish, wearing cute little onions like a vest. It looked better than I could ever wish, and could lead to cardiac arrest. My mouth was drooling and my taste buds were bursting from the smell of pork. But my baby yearned for my two pierogies, so I pushed them on her plate with my fork. She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, my Polish ray of hope, a living dream. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She goes good with a spoon of sour cream. She smiled when she finished, what a date. Lots of love went into that meal. Our hearts and our stomachs did inflate, and the gravy on my shirt did congeal. Don't be stingy when it comes to your loved ones. Give them everything you've got without fear. Laugh and give thanks that you found her while you watch your pierogies disappear. She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She eats them fast and doesn't ever gag. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. I'll never need a doggy bag.
Another episode of La Mala Pepita. When last we left little Pepita, she was bonding with the feeble-minded woman who had adopted her, no questions asked.
Good morning, Pepita. My, what a lovely swimming medal. Wherever did you get it? You can't swim.
Oh, I traded it for a tap shoe.
Oh, how nice. Do you smell something burning in the incinerator?
It is the remains of the janitor.
Oh, how nice. Pepita, have you ever noticed that a lot of bad things happen to good people when you're around?
Oh, never you mind, Mamita. By the way, have I said today you're the sweetest, prettiest, most gullible Mamita ever? Oh, have some almond-scented tea.
Oh, how nice.
The next day, we find the newly orphaned Pepita helping a blind woman to cross the street.
Don't worry, little old blind lady. As long as you have little Pepita by your side, you'll never need a seeing eye dog.
Oh, thank you, my child. I've always depended on the kindness and generosity of strangers.
When next we see Pepita, she is at the home of her physically challenged friend, Esmeralda.
Just think, Esmeralda, how happy everyone will be when you rise and walk from your wheelchair for the first time. Come on, you can do it. Try again.
You know, it's fine. It's really going to hurt. Please don't make me do this. Please.
Don't worry, Esmeralda. We'll just keep on trying, no matter how much it hurts you.
Ouch.
The important thing is that we never give up. Now try again. Close, but no papaya. You must try harder. Let's do it again. You're not trying.
The next day, with Esmeralda in intensive care, Pepita decides it would be fun to have a pen pal.
Dear Mr. Charlie Manson, this is the first time I've written to a real celebrity, but something in your eyes compels me to do it. I think we will become great friends. P.S. Could you think of a cute nickname for me, like Squeaky Mean or Angel of Death? Love, your pen pal Pepita.
Tune in tomorrow when Pepita experiments with common household poisons.
This time it will take more than a kiss to wake Snow White up. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
of that I'm living proof. Call me a menace, call me a sin, call me down to Hades, I'll be coming back again. And when I do, you bastards better run, cause I'll come smoking up and smoking you and beating on a smoking drum.
That was Mick Schaefer, also known as Michael Schaefer, from the First Amendment. This is First Amendment Day on the Nancy Lombardo Show. And in the chat room, all my friends, like this one, Steve Mendoza.
Friends, are you a snorer at parties? Are you getting laughed at for all the wrong reasons? Well, we've got just the cure for you. Comedy Concepts on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Nancy Lombardo. Comedy Concepts will make you taller, stronger, more popular, and smell better. So don't miss Comedy Concepts with comedian Nancy Lombardo. And now, back to our show.
Say to see good writing, the deck will come down and pay you $1,000. You're listening to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Hey, Mo! What is it, Carly? What is it? I want to listen to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Ruff. You know, it's an amazing thing. This is Jackie Mason, and you're listening to Comedy Concepts with my good friend Nancy Lombardo right here on the wonderful station on Blog Talk Radio. If you knew it, if you only knew what you were hearing, you'd understand that this is the greatest program a person could ever have. Nancy Lombardo right here at Comedy Concepts.
And that was, of course, the incomparable George Bettinger from the Mom and Pop Shop, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 4 p.m. Go to Facebook, friend them, the Mom and Pop Shop, and it's on Dream, I'll memorize it one day, Dream Something Radio. posted, Joe. George, I got so many people in the chat room, and the lovely Lizette typing. What do you have, two computers? Are you sharing? I don't know. Are you in the same house even? Cyanide from way across the sea. Marco Polo. And Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Movie Attic Headquarters. We'll have tomorrow Daniel Rosenberg visits, and he'll be discussing important movies that he's made, like Inside Man, starring Denzel Washington and Jodie Foster, Righteous Kill with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, and Novocaine, co-starring Steve Martin and Helen Bonham Carter. All right. His film credits also include Made in Manhattan, where you can see my friend naked, Bob Greenberg. I just have to keep saying that all the time. He's a lactose intolerant man in the movie. All right, and Mona Lisa Smile. And his book, Closing the Deal, that's tomorrow, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Who else haven't I pimped here? Let's see. Well, Lizette, you're riding along with the Mom and Pop Shop. Okay. Let's see who's in the room. Oh, yeah. Now I got a celebrity guest coming on. Like I said, it's First Amendment Day, so let me play you a little bit of his comedy before he calls in. Now you know it's a guy. I've given that away. All right. Let's begin with a little sample.
Mulligan. Mulligan's an Irish name. You know, Americans, we're funny. You know, I mean, we're all American. We all love being American, but we're all from someplace else. Have you noticed that? And I don't know about other nationalities, but Irish people go nuts when they hear an Irish last name. Thank you for proving my point. I met some guy the other day. He's like, Joe Mulligan. Look at your name, Joe Mulligan. Oh, what a fine Irish name you have. Ah, Joe. Oh, Joe, I see the little pink hearts and the yellow moons and the green clovers, your lucky charms, Joe. Irish Spring, I use it too, Joe. It's a manly scent, Joe, a manly scent. Have you been to Ireland, Joe? You haven't? Ah, Joe, go. Joe, go, Joe, where you go, Joe, where you go. Find out about your ancestors in Ireland, Joe. Your ancestors, it's important you go, Joe, Joe, go, Joe. Which was annoying, because he was from Korea. But I took his advice, and I went to Ireland, and something very interesting I found out about my ancestors. They're dead. So it was a short trip, really. Graveyard, U-turn, airport, pretty much, you know? I had a beer, you know, and a potato, and came back home to my hometown. I am from New York City. Thank you, thank you. I used to live in Manhattan, live in Brooklyn now. I used to live in the tough part of Manhattan, too, over on the west side. I lived in Hell's Kitchen. I was there in the late 70s. That was a nasty neighborhood. It's better now, but 10th Avenue back then. 10th Avenue was the kind of place where they just hated you if you were a stranger. They would just stare at you. I saw this guy one day. Hey, do I know you? So why are you talking to me, huh? Next time you see me, don't talk to me. I said, excuse me, officer. I'll find the post office myself.
Joe Mulligan. I hope I gave him the number to call in. I've just realized that, but I think he'll figure it out if he sees it. I better. I'm going to play some more Joe Mulligan until he calls in, which should be in a minute. Let's hear some more Joe Mulligan, formerly of the First Amendment also.
Part of the film when they get inside the castle and they find the room where Dorothy's at, and the Tin Man takes his axe out and starts kicking the door down, pauses the film. Okay, where did the Tin Man get his axe from? And I said, Stu, is this where the movie loses credibility for you? Because you have no problem with the flying monkeys, right? But here's where the film heads south for you. Good, good, good. It's true. Come on, it's true. Women know things that men will never know. true. Women know things like colors. Right? Because apparently this color doesn't go with that color. How do you know that? Seriously, I mean, did you get a color wheel while I was in gym class? How do you? Every husband in this room outside of the bedroom can't wear that. Why not? Because that doesn't go with that. So what? I'll blow up? What? Huh? In Montreal. All right, folks, I am familiar, like I said, with every style of music. Please give me a musical song. I think about Gigi, the investment broker from Montreal.
My name is Gigi. Listen to me. I'm gonna help you financially. I got a prize. It looks real good. You asked me to invest. I say, monsieur, I'm supposed to do it. I say,
Broadway song about Kathy, who is the office manager of a mall in Bennington, Vermont.
Come see all the Christmas display there. They came out of my budget, and I did them for you. Won't you come now and throw a coin in my fountain? I collect them. And I keep them.
And what do you do for a living in Canfield, Ohio?
I work in a drywall. Sell drywall.
You sell drywall.
I got a wood for a two. I got a half inch, a three quarter two. You can buy if you don't flinch. I said, what the heck? Go for the inch. It'll sound from your house, and I'm doing that too. I got the little messages. I can do them for you. You got to be in my back and toes. Diane from Canfield sells drywall. Yeah, yo.
Teach nurses. Ah, very good. All right, how many people here have actually ever heard Bollywood music before?
She says I can set your temperature, I say. She can tell you how to take a temperature in about half a dozen kinds of ways.
Well, that was Joe Mulligan. I'm waiting for him to call in. I hope I gave him the right time. I think I did. Joe, call in. I just called him to call in. Hopefully he'll do that now. Very funny guy. Let me tell you some stuff about him. How about that? That's always good. While I'm on the air, I just want to put a plug in for Comedy Cures. My friend Saren Rothberg. It's a very good, go to her site, go to her Facebook, Comedy Cures. They're terrific people. They do great things. If you want to donate something, please feel free to do so, and she'll give you more information. So go to Comedy Cures. Okay, it's on Facebook, Saren Rothberg. Anyway, that's good. I hope he calls in. There he is. I think that's him. All right. I see him on the line now, Joe Mulligan. Joe Mulligan has been keeping audiences laughing for over 25 years with his unique sense of perspective and love of musical improvisation. Joe's career has taken him from the comedy clubs of Manhattan to audiences all over 40 states, colleges, corporate work, military bases, private events, overseas, and cruise ships. His shows are personal, one of a kind. And he's really a great guy. He's played all around the world and slightly offshore as well. Let's bring him on, Joe Mulligan. Ah!
That guy sounds good. I don't know.
Well,
like
I managed
to
download. I'm still downloading your song. It's taking forever, so I'll have to play it next time, Joe Mulligan. So,
okay. Nancy,
I love your
Nancy,
stuff.
I thank yes. you. I, you know, we go back a ways, you and I, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes, we
back
do.
Back a ways for our, I'd say today you're the surprise celebrity call-in guest, by the way. So you have
oh.
the honor of being that.
I'm honored indeed.
You honored indeed, and you've got a couple of other radio shows listening to you as well. Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m. George Bettinger. Do you know George Bettinger by any chance?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, well, he was a comedian impersonator. He's the voice of the Red M&M. He's also got the radio show The Mom and Pop Shop Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. You can Facebook friend him. I'm sure he'll have you on.
I'd be delighted. And it's a pleasure to be on both of your shows. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, it's great. So you've been touring the world. We started together in improvisation. I've dedicated the show to the First Amendment. So we played some Tom Carosa. We played some Mick Schaefer. We played some you. And,
lovely.
And it's great.
I am,
and what
you
are you currently
my first
doing?
Teacher.
I was your first teacher. Wow.
You were my first, Nancy, you and Tom. I mean, you know, the First Amendment, you know, nobody, I can we go we'll talk about First Amendment for a while?
Sure.
I mean, is that okay?
Go. Yeah. Yes, fine.
I mean, it's, this was an improvisational company that I guess I got into 84. You know, I've just dated us, but I don't care. we're old, Nancy. Come on. We're dinosaurs. Come on.
I was so young.
I, me too. What happened? What
we
happened?
Were
my goodness. I know. We were kids.
We were great, though. What fun. I was.
It was because.
Mean
I found,
Joe Purse
I found
is posting
it.
Pictures of me in bathing suits on the internet now.
I know.
He's
and
a bad
I want
boy.
To see, I want to talk to you after the show, Nancy. Yes.
but it was great. It was a great time, Joe, because not
was
only was it
time.
The most brilliant people I've ever worked with or will ever mm-hmm. work with again, mm-hmm. no matter what. Mm-hmm. The most brilliant mm-hmm. grouping of people. But we were all friends, and we would tour and had the greatest times.
We just did. You know, and I mean, I found it through the trades. I was kind of – I just finished, like, this off-Broadway thing, and I was looking for the next thing to do. And I went and saw a show one night, and you were on stage, and Pat Bailey was on stage, and Michael Schaefer and Joe Purse. And I watched in the back of the room, and I watched you guys pull stuff out of your hats, out of thin air. And I had a moment sitting in the back of the stage, like, I want to do that. I don't know how to do that, but I want to do that, you know. And
you've
know,
turned it into a career because not only a great stand-up comic, but your use of, which is my favorite. Joe, I just want to go on tour. And I just want to do songs. That's the ships. That's what I want to do on a ship. I love
so much
it.
Fun.
Improvising songs is my favorite. As you know, I love every challenge. There's nothing I can't sing like you, which you're fantastic. I played that clip, by the way, which is your promo clip.
Oh, okay. Good.
Which
good.
Is
that's
so they
one.
Got a sampling of Joe, who has toured the world, and play. He can improvise on a dime. To anything, and you have a backup band and everything on these ships. It's fantastic.
Well, the ships are the best part. I mean, I'm coming up on my stand-up act for 26 years now. April 1st, I had
April
the last
Fool's.
Shift as a April Fool's Day. I had my last shift as a bartender that day, and had a gig in Jersey that night. So that became an auspicious anniversary to have there 26 years ago. And,
I remember a story you told me that was quite funny in your stand-up days, where they would have you do announcements from the stage. And mm-hmm. you announced a car had exploded.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, it didn't explode, but the car had been in an accident outside. And, you know, and I looked down at the license plate, and it was my car. My license plate. And I just remember saying to the crowd, you know, this is somebody else's car. We'd all be having a lot more fun right now. But then... I hadn't finished my show, and I figured, I'm on stage, like, you know, there's like a fight or flight moment that you have in a situation like that, And I said to myself, well, you know, what should I do here, you know? And then I just kind of rationalized that, like, whatever has happened to my car has happened to it. You know, my getting out there, you know, in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes won't affect, you know, the shape of my car as it is right now. And so I finished up my show, and I asked, you know, yes, for sometimes I close the show asking usually for two sentences and a musical thought to throw it together. And you know, like, we've been doing this stuff for so long. I mean, the improvs, Nancy, they're kind of like snowflakes where, like, you don't really remember them. You know, you just kind of do them, and then the next one, you don't really remember a lot of stuff you do. It just kind of comes out of you at the time, and you get ready for the next one, you know. But that one I remember.
Like I said, the most talented people, though. And you went in to stand up, and you performed with some pretty famous people. Drop some names.
Ray Romano, you know, Louis C.K., you know, like from my friend Greg Rogel is out there right now. Eddie Brill, I mean, Eddie Brill is a very good friend of mine. He's an audience warm-up and coordinator on the Letterman show. And, you know, I've been playing poker at his place on Monday nights for like almost 20 years now. You know,
wow.
And J.R. Havlin, who writes for The Daily Show, is at that table. William Stevenson, a good old friend of mine and a very funny comedian, he's there too. And it's kind of our, like, you know, urban Iron John thing. We don't go into the woods and paint our faces and beat drums. We play poker. And it's a very grounding experience.
Comedians playing poker. I know. I play softball. I'm on the Friars softball team, which I'm the catcher, and I use that term loosely because I let the ball go by. I bend over slowly. I pick it up. I throw it back.
Well, you're an improv. You give suggestions to the ball, right? The ball, please stop. And it doesn't listen to you, but you're going to suggest it. Can, you know, yeah.
Sometimes the umpire catches it for me. I mean, I'm really low-key.
He's a very polite man. That's very nice. That's very courteous of the umpire to do that, catch the ball for you, yes.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Yeah. I'm very polite. I say thank you. But it's great. So you're doing this, and you've been doing this for a while, and it's just become your life. You've even had the pleasure, and your son is so handsome now. I saw you performing with him, but you've taken your son around the world thanks to this. Starting out in comedy has led you around the world.
That was one of the proudest moments, you know. I took him on a trip in doing the Mediterranean for months, and he came on the ship with me, and we stood in front of the Sphinx together.
Oh, hey, you have CDs out. Are they on CD Baby by any chance?
No, I don't have CDs out. But
don't. That's crazy.
I know, I don't. It's just a funny story about myself. My son and me at the Sphinx, and we're looking, and about 500 yards away from the Sphinx is a Pizza Hut. So I have a picture of my son in the window of the Pizza Hut where you can see the Sphinx in the background. With the Pizza Hut logo just kind of hovering in the air there, you know.
And they say you can't take it with you. Well, evidently they didn't tell Pizza Hut that they can do
that.
And now you have you're a spoken word artist now. You have a show coming up.
I do. Next Monday night, April 30th, I'm doing with my friend Terry Mintz. And a show you did, last 2 months ago? You and Tom Carosi did it or something?
No, I just did it. I did it like 2 months ago. It was a very odd coincidence because she had approached me, and I get from Facebook, and she says, I need 1,500 words. And I said, 1,500 words? Why does that sound? I said, the only thing I have that I ever wrote that I know of in 1,500 words that I can get access to was an article I wrote for Penthouse. And
I'm almost afraid to ask what the subject was. You know?
Well, it was called Phone Groans, and it was about not taking a job at a porn phone service.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So
Nancy, you took the high road. I've always appreciated that about you.
And so I read about how I had to sit between booths of women, like in a call center, listening to women fake orgasms from midnight to 8 in the morning.
Oh, my God. There's like a box of lozenges on the table there, something like that.
Yeah, lollipops, baby pacifiers.
Lollipops, yeah. I guess your throat gets dry after all that old moaning, you know. So,
I know, it's too funny. So that was that. And so you'll be there, and the Three of Cups is on First Avenue and 5th Street, and you go downstairs, and people, it's packed. So if you go on the 30th to see Tale with Joe Mulligan and a bunch of other talented people doing spoken words, fantastic stories, go early because it is packed, and it's free on top of it with cheap drinks. You can't beat that in New York. And what's your topic going to be?
It's going to be comedy related. I'm telling a story about the night that I was fired from Dangerfield's Comedy Club.
Well, we won't give it away. They'll have to go see it.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
See it. So. And it's great. And you're going to see, I guarantee you, people, if you go this month, April 30th, right? Am I saying it? April 30th.
Yeah.
April 30th. It's at what time?
I think 8:30.
8:30. Just go to Tail. You can go to Tail on the
on
internet
Facebook,
too,
yeah.
And Facebook.
And, the internet,
and
yeah.
it's the Three of Cups. So that's also a restaurant. You can eat upstairs and go downstairs and see the show. I guarantee you, there will be celebrities in the audience. It is always packed, and there are celebrities. You go, hey, isn't that guy from that movie? I think I saw Taylor Negron there last time I was there.
Well, I was there last month just to check it out, and the guy who played Hurley in Lost was sitting there at the bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the kind of crowd it gets. And it, like I said, it's a very intelligent show. I look forward to it. Oh, Terry Mintz is emailing me while we're talking about you. Yes, I hope he talks about Tail. Yes, Terry.
Yeah.
We're talking about it now. Oh,
is that
boy.
Terry on the phone?
Funny.
Hey, Terry.
No, she's Terry. She'll listen. By the way, Joe, this show stays on the internet, and you can download it for free on iTunes if you want to listen to it in your iPod, so it will stay up there. Joe Mulligan, our surprise celebrity guest today. Oh, darn.
Surprise.
I wonder if I could... Now, that thing you sent me, was that a song, the last thing
that
you sent?
That is a song. Yes, it's loaded already. It's a song that I wrote for Tom Carosa, one of our dearest friends, and another one of my teachers.
Yeah,
what can I do?
Is this on his CD or his new CD?
I think it might be his new collection coming out. We did that at his friend's house, Rick, his producer, and that's Tom on lead vocal, and I'm doing all the background vocals.
All right, I'm going to try and see if I can fudge play it. Let me see.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to try. Hold on.
What did I do?
What did I do?
I'm asking you anew. Give me a clue.
Give me a clue.
What made you say to the loo? I wish I knew.
I wish I knew.
What's bugging you?
You
say we're true. I feel so blue.
What did I do?
What did
button at the end. Boom.
No, nice.
I have a chat room up here. I guess you can't see it. You're not in the chat room, but people are going, what did he do? What did he do?
What did he drop the shoe? What did he do?
What did he do? What did he do?
That became an exercise of, like, you know, yes.
Go ahead. As we're winding down, you can find out more about Joe Mulligan, where he'll be playing next, or how to book him if you go to www.joemulligan.com, www.joemulligan.com, and you can book him for your personal events. He'll travel,
yes,
too.
I do. Yeah. I have a license.
What did he do? I wanted to sing the whole time.
Oh, my God. That just became, you know, you write some stuff, Nancy, and that just kind of became an exercise. Like, how many things can you use that rhyme with the ooh sound?
You know, and I love that. And that's what we love about First Amendment improv. I mean, it's part, I do stand-up comedy as well, and God, it's like, how long? You do cruise ships, so you have to have 5 hours of material. But I do 45 minutes, and I'm sweating bullets. I'm like, what else can I talk about? Run out of jokes.
Well, it's tough. I mean, but again, you know, like, you go your way, and you find more and more. I mean, I'm married. I mean, that's the act right there. You really don't need much more than that, you know.
Oh, that was my new joke, Joe.
You can't identify with marriage, you know. It's like,
oh, I do that too. But my new joke was, I'm not going to mention anybody we know. But I said, I hate it when my comedian couple friends break up. It's not like they're just losing a spouse; they're losing half their act.
It's true. Well, actually, no. You got the bitter aftermath stuff too. Sometimes that propels that, you know. Yeah.
I know a comedian that's going through a divorce. Two comedians that are divorcing each other, and their acts consist of just hateful, spiteful things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my good friend Ross Bennett, who just did Letterman like about a week or so ago.
Yes, Ross Bennett. Yeah.
What a nice guy, super nice guy. And one of my favorite lines in his act, he talks about that his first wife died, and the second one was a divorce. And it came.
Wife died, and my second wife wouldn't.
Oh my God! Isn't that brilliant? To distill it down to that kind of a sharp point, you know, my first wife died, my second one wouldn't. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Very nice.
It's all grist for the mill. You know, everything we do is grist for the mill. And improv really helped teaching that too. Like, improv just, you know, taught you to pull stuff out of the air.
It's my first love of performing. If I could make a living at it.
I would do it because
it's my first
love. That's why I started working with the guitar. I mean, really, you know, when I started with just using my guitar and I didn't have to split the bill, you know, six or seven ways, which is a good company. But, you know, that became economically feasible for me to do, was to just do it by myself. And that was kind of the impetus for doing it way back when, you know. But
I'm going to have you at one of the cabaret nights at the Friars Club. You'll have to come with me.
I would absolutely love to do it. You know, you mentioned my son. You know, my son who is
handsome.
He's working now. Handsome young man. He's working with Brennan Lee Mulligan. He's working with the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Wow.
In the city now. And he's starting off. He had me on stage with him the other night. He and I did a set for the first time together.
Oh,
and I was scared stiff. Because, like, you know. Well, we did, you know, like that improv has evolved. I mean, you know, we did, it was like that kind of 5 minute stuff, you know, like stop every 5 minutes, get a new suggestion. They get one suggestion and roll for 20 minutes with it.
Oh,
and I was like,
I don't like that. I really don't.
Well,
to me, that's easy. I like another one and another one and another one.
Well, I mean, that's all well and good, too. But then it's like also, like, you know, how much can you riff? How much can you riff on the one thing? It's like a whole different kind of discipline. Where else can you go with that one thing? And I was scared stiff, but he just said, you know, he's like, don't worry, Dad, we'll do it, you know. And it was brilliant. And we're going to work together again. And I'll let everybody know when that happens again, because it was just so much fun to do.
Well, that's been terrific having you on, Joe Mulligan.
Nancy Lombardo, I love you. There, I said
I love
it. I'll
you.
Say it again.
And you can,
I love you.
I love you, man. And you can see www.joemulligan.com, and you can see him at Tail April 30th at the Three of Cups. Go to Tail online or Terry Mintz. She has the information. There'll be a ton of more talented comedians. I'm sure I'll have some of those on too. But Joe Mulligan was my First Amendment choice of the day.
There you go. Nancy, thank you so much for having me on today. This was fun.
Sure. Everybody Facebook friend him. And Facebook friend George Bentinger, the Mom and Pop Shop, and Betty Jo Tucker from Movie Attic Headquarters. And George Bentinger, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 4 p.m. Betty Jo Tucker, tomorrow I'll give you one last plug. She actually calls in and listens on her phone because her computer keeps going down. And tomorrow she's going to have Daniel Rosenberg on Movie Attic Headquarters, 4 p.m., Blog Talk Radio, and he did movies Inside Man, Righteous Kill, Novocaine, and Made in Manhattan with our naked friend Bob Greenberg in the front. Naked Bob Greenberg. So thank you,
man,
for tuning in, and let's see, I'll have to, our sons are so big, and I know the joy of performing with that. I made my son perform with me since he was little until he was 14, and he goes, I'm done, Mom. And okay, I'll just do the announcement.
I had him in there too.
What? Yeah. So I had him. We actually sang, and I'm glad I actually have a video of him as a boy singing with me, and it's just terrific. Joe, thank you for tuning in, and I'm going to go out with one of my mom rap songs. Okay. Thank you, Joe Mulligan, our celebrity guest.
Bye,
Joe.
Bye-bye.
I tried to get some Z's, but the voices made me write. I need a cup of Java to jumpstart and feel pert. My boys can't see from my glazed eyes that I am not alert. Everything I tell you goes in one ear, out the other. Just do what I say and listen to me. You'll live longer. I'm your mother.
Make me, cray to the Z. You make me, cray to the Z.
No texting at the table and put away your phone. The voices in my head won't leave me alone. I can write a song about it, I can tell a joke. I can take some meds, but I can't smoke.
You make me, cray to the Z. You make me, cray to the Z.
you for tuning in. The Comedy Concepts, Blog Talk Radio. Big kiss. Bye-bye.